So we're starting a new series this morning, Rise Up, Facing the Future in Faith. And I couldn't think of a better passage to start with than the familiar story of David and Goliath. So I've asked Kaylee and Connor Smith to read for us this morning from 1 Samuel 17.
The verse for today is 1 Samuel, and it comes from chapter 17. In verse 40, starting, David picked up 5 smooth stones from a stream and put them into the shepherd's bag. Then, armed with only a shepherd's staff and sling, he started across the valley to fight the Philistines. Goliath walked out towards David with his shield bearer ahead of him, sneering in contempt at his ruddy-faced boy. "Am I a dog?" he roared, "David, that you come at me with a stick?" And he cursed David by the name of his gods. "Come over here, and I'll give your flesh to the birds and wild animals," Goliath yelled. David replied to the Philistine, "You come to me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head, and I will give the dead the bodies of your men to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know there is a God in Israel."
"And everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not with the sword and spear. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us." As Goliath moved closer to the attack, David quickly ran out to meet him. Reaching into his shepherd's bag and taking out a stone, he hurled it with his sling and hit the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank in, and Goliath stumbled and fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with only a sling and a stone, for he had no sword.
There are giants all around us these days, hulking menaces that tease us, that taunt us. They are our fears about everything that's been happening all around us, and they are our fears of what might happen ahead of us, and we can imagine all kinds of things that might happen ahead of us. They are our fears that are connected to all kinds of injustice in the world, including racial injustice that continues to plague us, and all of the problems and all of the pain and all of the chaos that is born out of that. They are our uncertainties about our finances. They're related to our physical health and our mental health. They show up in the form of how we cope with stress, how we handle struggle, and how we succumb to sin when we don't cope with our stress and handle our struggle very effectively. And these giants scream at us in our loneliness. They demand an audience in our impatience, and they taunt us to harshly judge others around us and to harshly judge ourselves. And just like Goliath, they don't go away by simply ignoring them. Instead, they will come out day after day and to continue to call out our name. And the longer we ignore them, the bigger and more imposing, more frightening, more terrifying they become in our minds. Goliath came out day after day to challenge the people of Israel. The Philistines occupied one hill, and the Israelites occupied another, and between them was a valley, and every day into the valley, that's where Goliath stepped. And he went out with a proposition. It's called representative combat. Each side would choose their best warrior, and then they would go out and fight mano a mano to the death, as any civilized person would. And then whoever was the victor would become the ruler over whoever was the loser. They would become the subjects. Now, it was a way to reduce bloodshed But there was one problem in Israel's mind in this equation. And that is, it seemed that Goliath had a slight advantage in this representative combat over everyone else. He was a ginormous trained assassin. Now, there's some discrepancy in the ancient manuscripts as to exactly how tall Goliath was. The Hebrew manuscripts, and this is the number I grew up with, suggest that he was around 9 feet 6 inches tall, which would be a world record even today. Now, the ancient Greek manuscripts, including the Dead Sea Scroll, they suggest he was more like 6 feet 9 inches. But here's the thing. Either way, he would absolutely be enormous in ancient standards. So I want to show you a picture. This is LeBron James, who happens to be 6 feet 9 inches, and he's standing next to Simone Biles, Olympic gold medal gymnast Simone Biles. Now, she's a little under 5 feet, and the average Israelite man would have been a little taller, but not much. And you can see the height difference right there. And we don't know what it was. Goliath and his brothers, by the way, were all men among boys. They were dangerous, murderous, terrifying men among boys. Now, I don't know if someone was messing around with the chemicals in the family gene pool. I don't know if mom was dropping steroids in their Gerbers when they were growing up as kids. The Bible never tries to explain their unusual size. It just describes it. And when you picture Goliath, don't picture someone like me, thin and frail and weak. You need to picture not a praying mantis of a man, but a bulking, hulking, huge kind of person. And the reason I say that is you look at the description of the armor that he wears and the weaponry that he carries, and it is hundreds of pounds combined together. You need someone of significant size to be able to walk around with that. Now, compare that to most of Israel's warriors. And the first thing you would learn historically is most of Israel's warriors weren't warriors at all. They were farmers. They were shepherds. And out steps this trained assassin, and they are petrified, and understandably so. And every day he steps out with a taunt, with a question, who will come and fight me? And every person in the Israelite camp, to a man, all had the same response. Not it. Every person, including the king. So verse 11 tells us Saul and the Israelites would hear his taunts, and they were terrified and deeply shaken. Now, there's countless other details in this story that I would love to go into if we had the time, but I don't have the time. But here's the thing about a preacher preaching through the story of David and Goliath, and that is, you already know this story. You especially know the end of this story. You knew the end of this story before I ever get to it. It's like going to see the movie Titanic. You know what's going to happen before you see it. Even people who haven't stepped foot in a church in years, maybe decades, perhaps their life, they know the end of this story. That's because David and Goliath is one of those stories that has leapt out of Scripture and into our collective imaginations. It is a metaphor that has been used during March Madness every year except this past year when the pandemic closed it down. But it is a metaphor that people are familiar with. The underdog somehow, miraculously defeats the top dog. It's a metaphor for any person or business or team or nation who is seen as small or weak or under-talented or overmatched, and yet they defeat what seemed to be undefeated. We know this story. Maybe. Renowned author Malcolm Gladwell, who I love, he wrote a book about David and Goliath in which he uses the work of scholars to suggest that maybe some of the things we've assumed in this story are wrong. He turns the story, as he does in a lot of his books, upside down, and he uses it as a powerful metaphor to explore ways that we face the giants in our lives. And among other things, Gladwell points out that there are some things that Goliath says and does, and some descriptions in Scripture that are a little puzzling. So here are a few. He has an attendant carry his shield. Now, when we first look at that, that might not be all that surprising. Shield bearers in the ancient world would accompany warriors into battle, but usually who they would accompany is archers, because archers didn't have a free hand to carry the shield because of what they needed to do with the bow and the arrow. And so a shield bearer would carry the shield so they could protect the archer while they did their work. But for someone like Goliath, who is calling on sword, single combat, you wouldn't usually have someone else carry your shield. You're carrying all of your weaponry yourself. He also asks, why doesn't Goliath respond sooner when he sees David coming at him, but coming at him without the traditional weaponry and protection that a man-to-man, hand-to-hand combat would suggest? Maybe it's because Goliath is overconfident. He's too cocky, and that might be. But maybe he's not perceiving things as he should. And we'll come back to that. And there is this strange comment in the text when Goliath says, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" Now, what's strange about that is David, the text says, has one stick, not multiple sticks. Is this just something where Goliath misspeaks, or is something else at play? So Gladwell says that many medical experts now believe that Goliath had a serious medical condition called acromegaly. It's a disease caused by a benign tumor, a pituitary gland that causes an overproduction of human growth hormone. And one of the side effects is vision problems. Pituitary tumors can grow to the point where they compress the nerves leading to the eyes, causing severely restricted sight and diplopia, or double vision. So, his questions again. Why was Goliath led onto the valley floor by an attendant carrying the shield? Why does he refer to sticks in the plural? Why does he refuse to respond to a new kind of threat? Perhaps his vision was impaired. Now, I can buy that. That makes sense to me. That might very well be true. Now, here's what we know is true. While some see David, this young man armed only with a sling and some rocks, at a disadvantage, as having a liability, as being a long shot, David actually has a tactical advantage if he exploits it correctly. The sling took an extraordinary amount of skill and practice, but in an experienced hand, the sling was a devastating weapon. So someone who is experienced with a sling could kill or seriously injure a target at a distance of up to 200 yards, two football fields. Paintings from medieval times show someone with a sling hitting birds in mid-flight. And in Ireland, an accomplished person with a sling was said to be able to hit a coin from as far away as they could see it. And in the Old Testament book of Judges, it said that an accomplished person with a sling, it's talking about people from the tribe of Benjamin, were accurate within a hair's breadth. And the Romans even had a special set of tongs made just to remove stones that had been embedded in some poor soldier's body by a sling. Goliath was expecting a warrior like himself to meet him in battle, in his place, on his terms, in his way. He calls to David to come to him and then describes the horrible things that he'll do. And he wants him to come to him to fight on his turf. But David doesn't choose to fight that way. We know from early in the story that David refuses the armor of King Saul. It doesn't fit. It slows him down. And so David goes into battle. He's not weighed down. He's light on his feet. He runs. He doesn't fight Goliath in his way. He uses his wit. He uses his skill. He relies on his experience, his training, to get a tactical advantage. And he takes Goliath down. And I think there are ideals in this story that are critical for us to keep in mind. Because there are giants all around us these days, hulking menaces that are teasing us, that are taunting us. But this story reminds us of several important things. Our giants are not always as powerful as we think they are. They are not undefeatable. They are not insurmountable. The same qualities that appear to give them strength may also be a source of weakness. So keep working. Keep hoping. Keep fighting. Keep looking at your struggles from different angles. Keep looking through the eyes of faith. And the second is this. We are not always as powerless as we think we are. David knew his training. He knew his skill. He knew what he could do with a sling. David remembered his story. He knew he had defeated a lion and a bear. But along with all of that, David knew and remembered the story of God. And that's critical. David did not simply go into battle confident because he had a positive sense of self-worth in his own ability. Although he undoubtedly did, he had a lot of training, he had a lot of talent, he had a lot of skill, he had a lot of wisdom, and that's important. But there's more. And David did not simply go into battle confident because he had discovered his opponent's weaknesses. Confident because he found a tactical advantage by confronting this hulking, lumbering infantryman with speed and cunning and projectile weaponry. Although, in his capable hands, he turned that to an advantage. David was confident, but not just because he looked deep within to find his inner strength, although he found it, and not just because he looked across the valley to see Goliath's weaknesses, although maybe he could see it. David was confident because he looked beyond the giant and he looked a little higher. It says throughout the story that David is confident in the name of God. David is confident because he goes out in the name of God. David is confident because he remembers the story of God. David ultimately says that this battle is not about swords and it's not about spears. It's about the power of God. And that's my encouragement to you for all that lies ahead. Look within to see the talents and the training that God has already given you. Rediscover the gifts that you have, resources that you have, your experiences, your education, your wisdom, the friends and all that they bring to the table that you have at your disposal. And look out at the giants that you face and look through new eyes. Don't ignore them as if that makes them go away. See them for what they are. Imposing, yes, but not impossible. Difficult, absolutely, but not undefeatable. But don't stop there. There are giants all around us. But if we will look a little higher, we will see that towering over those giants is the God of the universe. And whatever battles we face, we do not fight alone.